O daughter of Zion, shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. That's God's word. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we do ask that you would help us tonight to, I don't even know that we can pray this, but somehow maybe not, we certainly can't drink from the cup that you poured out for Jesus. I don't even believe that we are worthy or strong enough to look in it. But at least, Lord, let us smell the aroma of our redemption that was poured full strength for him, that we might not have to drink it. Every man, woman, boy, girl in this place knows that we deserve to drain that cup of wrath to its dregs, that we had in our life poured it full strength. But oh, what a Savior to drain that cup for me and for you. So Lord, I pray that we might take a sip of the grace that's been poured out tonight. As we come to this table, may you give us words. Give this one who speaks words, and give these who listen ears to hear. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, in the church calendar, this thing sounds really hot. You'll have your attention. In the church calendar, who can tell me what today is? Palm Sunday. Well, Palm Sunday that we celebrate today was an event that happened over 2,000 years ago on this day, the first day of the Passion of the Holy Week of Passover, when Jesus came in. And this is the reference here in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, about gentle and riding on a donkey on a colt. Now, I do want to ask you to look at this verse, if you guys can please make sure it's still up there. There are three key things that we're going to get to at the end, but I want you to notice how Zechariah describes who it is that comes. First and foremost, we see that it's not a janitor, it's not a prophet, it's not a priest, it's a king. Behold, daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you. And how does this king come? Three words: righteous, salvation, and gentle. We'll get to that in just a minute. The people that were in Jerusalem at that time, because you see, Jerusalem was swollen with visitors and travelers and pilgrims who had come on pilgrimage to the holy city for the week, for the celebration of Passover. Discerning people from around the world, people from all over. In fact, if you read on in the book of Acts, you find that literally people from all the civilized world around the Mediterranean basin had come for Pentecost and for Passover, and these two celebrations that were so close together. So these were discerning people that understood when they saw what was happening. Jesus goes and gets on a donkey. He sends his friends, his disciples ahead of him to do this. See, Zechariah 9:9 is a prophecy of what will come. And if you'll look at Matthew 21, and I believe we've got that too. Matthew 21, and it begins at, did you start verse 1, Dave? Verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem, came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them, bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him what the Lord needs, that the Lord has need of them, and will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Zechariah. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them. And Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." You see, Matthew 21 is the fulfillment of Zechariah 9, verse 9. And the people saw this happening and realized that prophecy was among them, that prophecy was being fulfilled. Here is the king, the one that Isaiah prophesied and told us about. He's the one, the coming one is here. And so they threw their cloaks, their coats, palm branches, it says trees, but there we know that this, they put the palm, that's why we call this Palm Sunday. That was a king's coronation ride into the city, by the way. That's the way David, the king, entered into the city. But here's the thing that I want us to point out, or I want us to see tonight. The same people that threw their clothing on the ground for Jesus and his donkey to walk across, the same ones that ran out to see this strange man. Because why? The world was full of stories. They had heard about this one that walks around Galilee, and he makes the blind see, and the deaf hear, the lame walk, and the lepers cleanse. And the last story they had heard was that this Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. Of course they're going to grab palm branches and throw their coats on the ground, because this is the one. That's what they're thinking. This is the one. This is the one that Zechariah told us was coming. He's here. Here's what's odd. These same people that are waving their clothes and saying, "Hosanna to God in the highest," one day are the same people that just less than a week, in fact 3 days later, stood in Pilate's court, these same people, and they said, "Away with this man. We have no king but Caesar. Release unto us Barabbas. Crucify this man. Crucify him." Same crowd. Betrayal in 3 days. "What have you done for me lately?" They had forgotten him. Read why. How did they go? How does this happen so quickly? It's because they have unrealized expectations. They wanted a king that was not the king that they got. They had this soul-shaking disappointment. You see, what they wanted was a king that came with the wrath of God in his hand. Instead, they got a king with forgiveness on his lips. He was gentle, says Zechariah. They wanted a world champion to defeat the oppressive, tyrannical Romans, not a saving sacrifice. They wanted a champion, not a sacrifice. They wanted a champion that would come and crush the head of the greatest enemy known to man, which was enmity between God, a holy God, and sinful man. And that's not what they wanted. They wanted retribution. And what they got was righteousness. That's how you go from "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," one minute, and then crucify him the next. Why? Because they wanted a king of their own making, not the king that God sent. The one that God sent, friends, that's my king. Is it your king? Now, you're going to have to help me preach tonight. Is it your king? I wonder, do you know him? There's this guy. His name is Dr. Shadrach Meshach Lockbridge. What a great name, right? Shadrach Meshach Lockbridge. And when that man stood up to preach, you knew it was going to be an hour at least an hour, maybe an hour and a half. Some of you are looking at your watch going, there's a lot more programming. He's talking about that. No, thank you. Well, let me tell you, Shadrach Meshach Lockbridge wrote a sermon that he was the most famous for. Some of you have heard it. It's actually called, That's My King. Now, Shadrach Meshach is an African-American preaching in an African-American church. And so if y'all are going to play with me tonight, you're going to have to get a little color in your worship, a little presence in worship. So I want us all to practice. Can everybody take your hand and do this? Don't go all the way up, you're Presbyterians. You might get a nosebleed if you go up any further than that. All right. Now, can everybody say with me, amen?
Amen.
Can everybody say with me, yes, Lord?
Yes, Lord.
Can everybody say with me, bring it, preacher?
Bring it, preacher.
Oh, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. All right, so I want you to help me as we go through this, but I want you to listen to what this man wrote. It's something that stuck with me, and I've written it down. I'm going to try to speak a little bit like him just for fun, because I know you're going to have fun with me, because you're going to say amen, right? Amen?
Amen.
All right. Yes, Lord?
Yes, Lord.
All right. Here's what it says. The Bible says that my king is the king of the Jews, the king of Israel, the king of righteousness, the king of ages. He's the king of heaven, the king of glory, the king of kings. Let the Lord, he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him?
Yes, Lord.
You want to hear about him?
Yes, Lord.
My king is sovereign. His name means the defender. He comes alone. My king is a limitless love. He's enduring strong. He's entirely serene. He's entirely steadfast. He's eternally and immortally graceful. He's empirically powerful. He's importantly merciful. I wonder, do you know him? Do you know him? He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners and discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble and he blesses the children. Can you hear me? That's my king. Do you know him? Don't you want to know him tonight? He's the key of knowledge, the wellspring of wisdom, the doorway of deliverance, the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness, the highway of holiness, the gateway to glory. Are you ready for him? Do you want him? Don't you want that king? That's my king. Oh, I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible, where you can't get him out of your mind and you can't get him off your hands. You can't outlive him and you can't live without him. Amen.
Amen.
The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found that they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find a fault in him. Herod couldn't king him, kill him. Death could not handle him. The grave could not hold him. Oh, that's my king. Is he your king?
Yes.
Amen. Well, there he is. That's our king. Don't it send cold chills up your spine to think about that being our king? Whatever it was they were celebrating out on the road with palm branches and clothes pales in comparison to my king and to your king. You see, it's more than just what Shadrach, Meshach, Lockbridge said. It's back in Zechariah. Zechariah says three things. Remember, I pointed them out to you. It says first, that he was gentle. He was gentle. Secondly, that he was righteous. And thirdly, that he was salvation. On the cross, which we're going to tonight, and we're going to come to the table. We're coming to the table right now, so I'm not going to go long. And I want you to really receive this table. I want you to listen to the table. I don't know if anybody's ever instructed you or you've heard that from the pulpit. But I want you to listen to the table tonight. I want you to let it cry out to you that he is gentle and he is righteous his salvation. When Jesus was on the cross, there were three very important things that he said, and they go hand in hand with what Zechariah said in chapter 9, verse 9. He says, he is gentle. Do you remember what Jesus' first words from the cross were? As he looked down, and there's Roman soldiers. They still have blood splashed across their face and on their robes. Their hands are still bloody. I mean, he looks down and there's a group of guys that are throwing dice over who's going to get his cloak. And everybody's standing around. The ones that were sympathetic to him are looking at him going, what is happening? And the rest could care less. Do you remember what he says from the cross at that moment? The gentlest thing that any man has ever uttered. Who's suffering what he's suffering on that cross for those people that are there covered in his blood from a beating that he received. He says, Father, say it with me, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm sorry, brothers and sisters, but there's never been a more gentle word uttered than that. For where he was. It says that he was righteous. He wasn't just righteous, he was righteousness. Righteousness. He got it right. Jesus got it all right. He did everything right. There was nothing that he messed up. Every jot, every tittle, every act, every want, and every commission that God called for in his law, he perfected it perfectly. And here he is on the cross. How is it that God can bring Jesus to the point that he says, his second saying comes out of his righteousness when he says, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, say it with me, my God, why have you forsaken? It sends cold chills down my spine when I think of it. That the Holy One of glory is on that cross and God has forsaken him. There was no comfort. He got no comfort on the cross. No, he got no word of help. No advice. No comfort. No joy. No compassion. There was nothing up there on the cross that led him to believe that anything good was going to happen to him. He was absolutely abandoned. Not even the love of his own father on the cross. Why? If he's righteous, why? Why would he get a response like that? Because at that moment, friends, righteousness had been taken from him. And sin had been placed on him. Whose sin would that be? Say it loud, friends. Mine. Where was righteousness now? On you. On us. My sin on him. My sin on him. His righteousness to me. So that now salvation has come. That's the third thing. Remember the third thing that he said, and finally, the last thing that he said. He said, say it with me, it is finished. What's finished? The enmity between you and God. The brokenness between you as a sinner and a holy God. The estrangement. The Genesis chapter 3, verse 18, the serpent's head has been crushed. By the Son of the living God, it is finished. You are no longer estranged. God has made peace between him and you. That's my king. Is he yours? Is he yours? If he is not, do you want him to be? Well, let me tell you. That's what this table cries out for tonight to you. His body says, I am gentle and humble. And I beg you, come. For I am gentle and humble, and I will give you peace and rest. Are any of you weary? Are any of you worn out? Are any of you worried? Are any of you anxious? Do you walk around with a knot in your stomach? Let me testify. If any of you need rest, He is gentle and humble and will give you rest for your souls. Are any of you feeling that you're filthy, that you're dirty, were those solemn approaches to the cross, were you saying that in your heart, God, have mercy, I've done that to you? Then hear the blood of Jesus cry out. The blood of Jesus cries out and says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest, and I will wash you so that you will be whiter than the driven snow. Your sin will remain no more. As far as the east is from the west, I'll remember it no more. Because in the blood of the Lamb you've been cleansed and washed. Do you hear the table crying out to you, friend? I don't care if you walked with Jesus for 50 years, 60 years. If you've walked with Him for 5 minutes, or if tonight would be the first night you've ever taken a step with Him, it doesn't matter. We're all come the same way through the body and the blood of Christ. Amen? Amen. Are you ready for the table? Are you ready? Are you hungry? And elders, would you come up and help us serve? Kent, we'd love to have you come and help us serve. Kent's a fellow elder in the PCA, and he's visiting with us tonight. Is there any other elders? Okay. Love for you to come and help us. The Lord Jesus called us to pray before we come to the table, and so I ask you to come and do that now. Father, would you set these elements apart to holy use? Would you bring us to this table looking for the true King, that King that's above every name, whose name, at His name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, and in Him we have life everlasting. Father, if there's anyone here tonight that has never given their life to Christ and received from Him that perfect righteousness, instead of taking bread and juice, let them put their heads down and let them pray the prayer. It says, I don't know if I know you, but I'm asking you to come and know me and receive me. I surrender my life to you tonight, Jesus. But for all that know Him, for all that call Him Lord, and for all that righteousness has imputed to them, as He has taken their sin, I bid you come and welcome. No matter what church you go to, no matter where you attend or where you are, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are welcome at this table. We bid you come and welcome. I pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Jesus, on the night in which He's betrayed, He took bread and He broke it. He gave it to His disciples and He said, this bread is my body which is broken for you. Take it and eat it. Do this in remembrance of me. Body of Christ.